All right, happy Monday. Hopefully everyone had a good, safe, and all things considered happy weekend. Steinberg and Will along with you. Will, how many KMs did you get in this weekend?
The weather wasn't all that terrific. I did take it easy Saturday, did not run at all. And then yesterday I did about 10 and a half.
It's pretty good. 10 and a half for
and
a
Friday,
weekend.
Friday I did like just under 9.
So about I did, 20 for the weekend.
Yeah. Again, I didn't run Saturday. I try to take like one or maybe two, depending on how lazy I am, but one or two days off a week, and the rest I'm probably a minimum of 8K a day, and have my route down pat, and know that it usually takes me, you know, 40, 45 minutes max, depending how slow and lazy I am to begin. And yeah, my run on yesterday was 5:01 pace, Pat.
So those 10K. New shoes are working, hey?
They're fast. Yeah,
fast. So just we'll get to sports in a second, but it's kind of just coming off a weekend. Thought we'd catch up. So Will just got new Under Armour shoes. Will kind of shamed / inspired me to start running, because I mean,
can we dial it back further though? Like where did this running that you decided one day that you're also going to start running? Why? Well, and how did we come to this decision?
Because
is it just pure COVID based?
Yeah, 100%. I hate running.
Okay.
I absolutely despise
that's it. What I mean. I was like, how did we arrive here, Pat? How did we get down this path?
Because so I like in full disclosure, like I love being at the gym and weight training and all that type of stuff, but I've really gotten into the last couple of years kind of circuit training and cardio plus weights, and I'm a big Orange Theory Fitness guy. Like I love it. It and we got it back. I think it came back in like June or something like that, and had it back from like June until I don't know, like December or November when things got dialed back again. They shut down. Hasn't been back since. And so without it, it's like, yeah, weight training's fine. And like, I've got weights at home and my condo gym was open for a little bit. But I was like, I got to get cardio in. I got to do something. So I was doing these insanity DVD workouts and some other stuff, but I got sick of them. So I'm like, you know what? I'll just start running. And it turns out that I can run and not get bored for like 25, 30 minutes and I can keep up a decent pace. But it turns out I was running with just trash shoes, absolute trash, like 7-year-old Nike Free Trainers, which are gym shoes. They are not running shoes. They had insoles in them to make it a little bit better, but I was running in those, and I was wondering why I'd get home from a 25-minute run and my right leg would feel like somebody was hammering it, like literally taking a hammer to my shins for an entire day afterwards.
Yeah, it's not fun.
And then you're like, maybe you should get new shoes, and I did, and not only do I feel better when I run, but it's taken, yeah, like 20 seconds off my kilometer pace, because I don't have to, you know, every time I land, I don't have to feel like I have to do it softly. So you have helped me. Now I took all of last week off of fitness. So I was having a bad mental health week. So I'm like, no, just like, let's just take a week off of that.
Did you count food too? Like, did you go?
No,
all
in? I tried to keep the food somewhat healthy actually. So I actually tried to keep that. That was kind of my deal with myself. And now I'm going to hit the trail by the river again this evening. So you did more KMs than I did, and that would be the case every day because you average like 40 a week. But good on you, man. So you usually take about 2 days off a week?
It depends, again, how lazy I'm feeling and how what my distance are like. I usually try to go one, maybe two, like longer distant ones. Like we're talking 12-plus K. But I also have a killer blister on my right foot right now, so I'm just trying trying to heal that a little bit, which isn't fun. And I keep going out and it keeps obviously re-aggravating the exact same spot. So that's kind of the worst part. And I can't afford to really take 2 weeks off. So
yeah,
that's the crappy part. But yeah, all in all, decent weekend. And it's raining right now in Mahogany. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, it looks like it's about to rain downtown as well. Here is a text. Good text to kick it off. Well, Will, I guess my girlfriend unfortunately won't have to make you a hat-shaped cake, lol. That is, of course, in reference to last week where...
it's my birthday on Sunday, though. She can still make me a cake, absolutely.
A good cake would be good. It's all in reference to Will saying, if the Flames make the playoffs, I will eat my hat. Well, that weekend that we just saw changed things pretty dramatically for the Calgary Flames. And Friday's conversation with you and me and Huss was a lot of what if, and, you know, what about those final four games against Vancouver? Could they be super meaningful? And Montreal was reeling, and who knows? Maybe we're talking about the Habs sitting and waiting and the Flames controlling their own destiny in the final four games. And who knows? Maybe that will still happen. We have no idea how things are going to play out. But, I mean, we're talking about the most minuscule of chances. They were 4 points back when we last spoke on this show. And then Montreal pulls out two straight comeback wins, Friday against Winnipeg, and even more impressively, Saturday against Ottawa. Then Calgary loses 4-1 to Edmonton on Saturday night. And I think you came, as a Flames fan or a Flames observer, Will, I think you came out of Saturday kind of with a larger appreciation of just how uphill a climb and how difficult Calgary's situation truly was. Despite the fact that it looked closer, 4 points, you're like, okay, it's in striking distance. It was maybe more of an underlining of kind of how misleading that might have been.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to echoing in my head right now is the conversation we had with Eric Francis just after 5 o'clock on Friday. And you know, the biggest thing there was that you have to really squint to see Calgary's chances. And that's kind of where I was the entire time, despite the gap. And the reason why I think, Pat, you had to even squint harder despite the four-point gap, which had been really the smallest all season, was the head-to-heads were over. They were done with. So that was a legit, you had to be 4 points better than Montreal over your final seven games. And I just had a hard time believing that because, again, this was a team that has had troubles stringing wins together. So that's where it came down for me. It's that, okay, the head-to-heads are gone. And that's a legit four-point gap. There's no way you can really make that up in one night. And then you factor in what Montreal did over the weekend. And yeah, it's curtains. But that's in that again, that's ringing in my head right now. It's, you know, the conversation we had with Francis. And if you really had to squint to see a path in the playoffs, it was there. By no means am I saying it wasn't there. It was there. But it was bordering on impossible or improbable. And, you know, now it really is impossible with 8 points and six to play.
Well, the problem was that you left it like there is so much out of your control. And yes, Montreal was reeling, and yes, going into the weekend they had lost what 9 of 13, and yes, they might lose their final six. Who knows? But you left so much of it in Montreal's hands, and the Habs were still the team that fully controlled their own destiny and controlled Calgary's, and by them erasing a couple of two-goal deficits on Friday, I think they built a ton of belief. And then they were down 2-0 on Saturday, and then they tied the game, and the goal got waved off, and they tied it again, and Cole Caulfield scored in overtime. It was just one of those things where you're like, yeah, well, Montreal was in a spot where they had the ability to come back, win those games, and put themselves in such a better spot. And I give them a lot of credit, man. I give Montreal a ton of credit because they were reeling and they were having trouble scoring, and it did look like things were teetering on them getting out of control. And then you fall down 2-0 and 3-1 to the Jets and win 5-3, and you fall down 2-0 in the third period to a really game Senators team, and you score really four unanswered, but one got waved off. You score three unanswered. Like, I don't know where that came from Montreal. That was... Had you told me those were the way that was the way the Habs were going to win a pair of games over the weekend, you know, trailing by two goals and both knowing how difficult it's been for them to score, I would not have seen that coming. But I tip my hat to them because they had a chance to control their own destiny and they said, okay, let's go and do it. And they did.
Yeah, I think they heard all that noise. And to your point, they kind of looked at it and said, you know what, guys, we can silence this real quick if we go out and take these games. And it's exactly what they did. And you're right, for a team that had so much going against them from afar, it appeared that just nothing was going to turn their way. They weren't getting bounces, injuries, you know, they had guys falling left and right, and then they couldn't score on top of all of that. And yeah, this weekend they kind of did the opposite of what we've seen the last two and a half weeks, and they came from behind in both games. You could tell how much they wanted it, and when you can cap it off with Cole Caulfield's first career goal in Saturday's OT win, that's not a bad way to cap it. But yeah, that to me looked like a team that just kind of had enough and said, okay, it's in our hands, let's go and take it, boys. And they did exactly that.
And did it without their captain in both games. And we already know that Gallagher and Drouin and Price aren't. And then Shea Weber goes down. And we find out just before puck drop on Friday that Weber's not playing. He didn't play on Saturday either. Yeah, a lot of credit to him. And when you built up a gap like they did, they were in the driver's seat, and it's not completely done. And there's still mathematical life for Calgary and Vancouver, but what Montreal did over the weekend really put them in a better spot. And even listening to them today ahead of their game against Toronto, they're now focused on Winnipeg. The Jets are reeling, and let's be honest, the Jets would have to lose out and Calgary would have to win out for them to catch, and that's just an unrealistic thing to ask as well. It's a 10-point gap there. But here's I'd be curious as to if you thought the same thing. I don't know. Johnny Gaudreau, for instance, told Eric Francis postgame that he didn't know this, but I certainly wonder. The Caulfield goal was scored while the Flames and Oilers were on the ice for warm-up on Saturday, and you just can't help but wonder if that shell-shocked start was at least in part aided by the situation that, you know, they probably went out for warm-up and it was 2-0. They come back and it's 3-2, and the Habs have already won. I do wonder if that played a little bit into why they looked like such a shell-shocked team to drop the puck on Saturday. I think the biggest part was how good the Oilers were to start, but I do wonder a little bit about that, and I don't think we'll ever know.
Well, it's funny, I dismissed your Noah Hanifin wondering earlier, I think this last weekend, about his injury, and I said that I had no part. This one, Pat, I think had everything to do with their start. There is no question about it. A team that knew that they were looking at, you know, essentially the one group, and that's who we're going to focus on the out-of-town scoreboard. There's no way they had no idea, or they weren't at least aware of what had happened just moments before that game. And that's not an excuse. They should have been better themselves. But yeah, I would have to say that did play a role for sure.
Yeah.
There's no question. How much it played a role, that I don't think we'll ever have the answer.
For sure. And also give Edmonton credit. They were junk on Thursday. Calgary was very good on
back
Thursday.
Back-to-back.
Well, exactly. And I mean, you shut out McDavid and Draisaitl. Usually they come back and what? McDavid had 3, Draisaitl had 4. You're like, okay, well, that kind of telegraphed that. That's the way it's gone all year long. And it's not like Edmonton is home and cooled either. They want to secure home ice and a potential Game 7 home ice date against likely Winnipeg, maybe Montreal in round number one of the playoffs. So they have incentive to keep on winning. So, yeah, just all things considered, there was a lot that went into it, but I'm with you. I think you have to, at the very least, assume that part of the really rough start to that game was the news they had to have known when the puck dropped on Saturday. A couple of texts, 960-960. Respect to the Habs for their two spectacular comebacks. They wanted it more, and the Flames simply can't score enough. They basically lost 20% of their season with that one bad 10-game stretch. And this guy, completely unrelated to the hockey game, but Will got into a bit of a conversation with this gentleman. We were talking about Will's running, which is at another level. Like he's at, you know, one percentile commitment to running. Somebody texts in, people who run more than 5K are psychotic. And then Will responds, I do it without headphones too. I'm a double psycho. And then he goes, yeah, without music, you're a different breed. The fact that you run like 10K a day is stupid, and then you do it without music, which is ridiculous. I don't know how you do it. And yeah, I do about like 3.5 in 20 minutes, and then I'm just done. I can't do anything.
So do you do a distant cap or a time cap?
I do a route. So I just, So I start from Millennium Park. I run west onto 14th, down across the river to the 8th Street Bridge, cross at 8th Street, Run to the Peace Bridge, back, and then back on 8th Street, back to my condo. So it
Because what you should be doing, Pat, is running all the way to Edworthy Park and back. You know, that's a good run.
How many walking breaks do you think I would take if I were to run from, you know, the west side of downtown to Edworthy Park? Like, I'd probably take about...
I got to know the distance first. I don't know it off the top of my head. I'd say it's probably, what, 10K?
Yeah, about that.
So I would say that would take you, so 10 there and back, so that's 20 total. Yeah, you'd probably be like 2.5 hours in the bag, I would think, with walking included.
No, thank you.
Maybe more. Because that's like there. So your house or your place to Edworthy and back, that's like a half marathon.
Ugh. Yep, no thank you.
And it's funny because I can't go back now to music. I think it would be crazy if I did that. I got tired of, and this is also, you know, I didn't have Bluetooth headphones and maybe that would change, but my AirPods were having some issues. So I ditched them and I had the corded phones in my ear and was tired of continuously yanking up the cord. So I just decided to, I said, screw it, took off the headphones and have never gone back and I never will go back ever.
Impressive. It's mental discipline unlike I will ever have. I'm 36. I don't think I'm ever going to get that mental discipline at this stage. I am who I am at this stage. You know, we're always talking about, yeah, that player, he's 7 years into his career. He probably is what he is. Yeah, I am who I am. I'm never going to have that type of willpower or mental discipline, but I respect those who do, like you, my friend. Couple of texts wanting to know about the overtime caller Dave on Saturday.
Yeah, what happened there?
Jay, just a guy who had an axe to grind with the radio station, and was mad that I had suggested that they weren't going to make the playoffs, and the morning show had suggested, and that Francis had suggested, and that you had suggested that they weren't going to make the playoffs. And I was like, well, do you want us to lie? Do you want us? And he's like, well, I just figure you guys are partners with the radio station, with the team that, you know, and we're like, well, no, we're not going to lie. They're not going to make the playoffs. We're not going to sit here and blow smoke. Our listeners are too smart about that. And I said, I think there are varying waves of, you know, different glass half full, glass half empty. The way, so he was just very upset. And I said, no, don't take shots at Francis or Boomer or Rhett or Pinder or Will. They're not here to defend themselves. Come after me. So that's the way that all went. And
I'm a man. I'm 40.
He finished it. I'm a man. Come after me. He finished it after he said something about how I want to trade Gaudreau. I'm like, do you even listen? Like, I've been the one guy saying, I think they should re-sign Gaudreau.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, you were the one who was very adamant about re-signing him. So that's the opposite.
And then as we said goodbye, he busted off a very Cron-like suck at Pat. So I was like, okay. He just had an axe to grind to the radio station, and I let him go for a little bit. So that's what people are talking about. 4-1, the final score on Saturday night. We're underway on the big show. It's Steinberg and Nault along with you in the Iconic Studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Telecommunications, it's Iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. Let's look back on Saturday night. It is time for Saturday's game in a minute.
Game in a Minute, brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, Calgary's original Infinity destination for over 28 years. Hyatt Infinity, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Hello, hockey fans, and welcome inside Rogers Place in Edmonton for the 10th and final round of this season's Battle of Alberta between Jacob Markstrom and the 21-24-3 Calgary Flames and Connor McDavid and the 29-17-2 Edmonton Oilers. Settled, the Yamamoto with a shot, stopped, and now Markstrom sprawling, keeps the puck out. It squirts right out in front, slides across the goal line, and Giordano clears it out of harm's way. And now here's McDavid with a shot, he scores! Connor McDavid, in his 400th NHL game, weaves his way through some traffic and chops the puck into the top corner of the Flames net. The Oilers score a power play goal and take a 1-0 lead. Drops the puck to McDavid. Walks into the slot and drops it. Now they shoot and score. Ethan Bear with a wicked one-timer that beats Jacob Markstrom. David drops it. Here's with a slap pass. Draisaitl, a one-timer. Loose puck. What a save by Stone. Markstrom was down and he was out, and Stone saves another power play goal. Kachuk steps in and shoots. He gets stopped, rebound. Gaudreau scores! Johnny Gaudreau bats the puck by a down-and-out Mike Smith and into the back of the Oilers net. Final 2 seconds will come off the clock at Rogers Place in Edmonton. The Oilers win the 10th and final round of this season's Battle of Alberta. They score a couple of empty net goals and take this one by a final score of 4-1. They win the season series 5 games, or make that 6-4. And for the Flames, tough to swallow loss. They are now 8 points behind the Canadiens in the fight for the fourth and final playoff spot in the Scotia North Division.
Game in a Minute brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, Calgary's original Infinity destination for over 28 years. Hyatt Infinity, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
I'll say that music bed still holds up. It still works for montages like that. The Kill Bill theme still works. Next up for the Flames, they'll take on the Winnipeg Jets Wednesday. Note the start time, 7:30 from the Scotiabank Saddledome. So we'll pull all the way till 6:30, and then your Flames warm-up goes at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday night.